Welcome to Big Blue Hits Friday at a special time at 9:30 in the morning. I'm John Schmelk, and today we're joined by Paul Dottino. And Paul, it is the best time of the year. It's turkey time. How was your Thanksgiving?
I tell you what, John, it was fun because watching three football games in one day is always good. We don't get to do that very much because we're always at the Giants game and we don't get to see many of the other teams play.
Food, family, and football, the best time of the year for sure. It's time for Adorama News of the Day, and we're going to reference one of those games, Paul, from yesterday. The Cowboys do not do the Giants any favors. After a rough first half, they come back and beat the Oakland Raiders on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you know, John, I really thought that the Raiders played about as well as they could possibly play in the first half. McGloin was throwing bullets, and it looked like maybe, just maybe, they could steal a game from the Cowboys. But you know what? Dallas and Dez Bryant and Jason Witten, they showed up in the second half, and they gave the Giants a little bit of a blow here.
The Eagles will try to keep pace this weekend and win their game to finish tied with the Cowboys after this week in first place. The NFC is still very much up for grabs. Now, Paul, it's very important to note here as we move forward, while the Giants' division hopes might be somewhat slim, it is very important for them to get back onto the winning track. Victor Cruz wants to put this loss behind them, get a win under their belts, and get on a streak to end the season.
It's definitely important, just for our own personal belief. I think we understand that we can do it. We understand we can win these games, but we have to physically go out there and do it in order to keep our belief high, keep our faith high, and keep our energy high. And I think that's the biggest key for us. I think we're going to go out on Sunday night and put our best game forward and really surprise some people.
And Paul, you talked a lot about this over the course of this week, how important you think it is for the Giants to get a win this week to kind of get back into the winning way. You don't want to fall back into the same type of habits you had during that 0-6 stretch to start the season.
Yeah, you're right, John, because now with the light at the end of the tunnel kind of dimmed, that would be the playoff spot that doesn't look like it's too realistic right now, it would be a lot easier for guys to perhaps get a little bit less interested, fall in the tank, so to speak, if you will. And so I think they need to beat the division rivals on national television, feel good about themselves, reinstill the pride that Tom Coughlin always preaches, and then, you know, maybe they can get on a little bit of a roll here and at least finish the season with a winning record.
And there's some legitimate hope. If you win out, you go 9-7. The Eagles and the Cowboys aren't upper echelon NFC teams here. There's a realistic chance they both finish 8-8. You still do have a shot here if you do win the rest of the way.
Mathematically speaking, it's still possible, and I always believe that it's very good to finish with a winning record regardless. I mean, I just think that when you go into the offseason, you said, hey, we had a winning season, that's important to me. Maybe it's not to some other people. Maybe they're looking for draft picks. I don't know. But I think that, you know, when you can say Tom Coughlin hasn't had a losing season as a Giants coach since his first year in Big Blue, I think that's significant. That's important to me.
8-8, the worst record. That came a couple years
ago.
201-939-4513. We are taking your calls on Big Blue Hits this morning. 201-939-4513. Now, one thing that will change for the Giants this week is their offensive line. Jim Cordell was put on IR earlier in the week with a knee injury. That means James Brewer is going to have to step in. Giants quarterback Eli Manning was impressed with the job that new unit did in the second half of the game last week.
I thought the offensive line, you know, did very well. You know, again, you know, running the ball after Jimmy went down and Boothie moved over to center and snaps were good, shotgun snaps, and guys, you know, did a good job in protections and, you know, not many mental mistakes or anything like that. We really did a good job up front.
And after early season injuries, the Giants finally had some continuity in the offensive line. Until this week, Paul. You're finally going to have a new lineup. Now, there's really no worries about Kevin Booth going to center. He's played there before.
Yeah.
He's done an excellent job. But now James Brewer is in at left guard. How do you think he's going to fit in switching positions and getting back into the starting lineup?
Well, John, big picture. This will be the sixth different starting offensive line the Giants have had in 12 games this season. Now, that can't be good for anybody, no matter how much they want to talk about, you know, the continuity and the guys being versatile and the guys being able to do everything they have to do. It's still going to be tough. Now, James Brewer, in my opinion, did a yeoman's job last week. Eli Manning's right. He really stepped in a very difficult spot and did well. But, you know, the truth of the matter is he hasn't played a lot over his few years here. He primarily came in as a tackle. Then they moved him to guard last year at practice. I don't know exactly what you can expect from him over the last five games of the season. And I'm truthfully being honest with you.
And it's very important for James Brewer, however, to show this team, and you might have a lot of change in the offensive linemen on this team in the offseason,
sure,
to show that he can play and maybe earn a starting spot next year. And the shame of it is the Giants had their best running game of the year last week. Went over for 200 yards, over 5 yards per carry. They did an excellent, excellent job. John Connor's lead blocking was one of the reasons they did so well.
Offensively, we've all been on the same page. We've been, correcting our mistakes and just making sure we're good on our assignments and making sure we're just executing.
And, Paul, John Connor owned the Cowboys linebackers last week. He did a heck of a job. Bruce Carter was running from him by the time the second half came along. And, boy, he really sparked a Giant running game that was as good as it's been probably in a couple of seasons.
How about this, John? The Giants ran for over 200 yards for the first time since 2010 against the Minnesota Vikings. So that's 3 years, okay? In the last six games, they've had three 100-yard rushers. None of this is a coincidence. John Connor has been a very, very good addition to this team.
201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. Give us a call. We'll get you right on Big Blue Hits live on Friday on Giants.com. Plenty more coming up in today's show, but first, let's take a look at the top 10 things you need to know about the Giants-Redskins rivalry.
Here are the top 10 things you need to know about the Giants-Redskins rivalry. 10. The Giants forced 10 turnovers, 7 interceptions, and 3 fumble recoveries against the Redskins in a 1963 meeting, tied for the most in franchise history. They previously had 10 takeaways against the Chicago Cardinals in 1952. 9. Joe Morris rushed for 9 touchdowns against Washington from 1982 to 1988, the most by any Giant in series history. Frank Gifford trails him with 8 rushing touchdowns. 8. The Giants' longest regular season win streak over the Redskins is 8 games, stretching from 1960 to 1964. 7. The number of touchdowns Y.A. Tittle threw in a 1962 victory over Washington, tying an NFL record for the most in a game. The mark is currently shared with 4 other players, George Blanda, Nick Foles, Joe Capp, and Peyton Manning. 6. The Giants have recorded 6 or more sacks against Washington 6 times, most recently in 2002. They recorded 8 in 1998, the most in series history. 5. The number of road wins Eli Manning has as a starter in Washington, all coming in a 5-game win streak at FedEx Field between 2006 and 2010. He's 5-4 overall against the NFC East rival on the road, including losses in his last 2 trips. 4. There have been 4 ties in 160 regular season meetings between the two franchises, 1932, 1939, 1960, and 1997, 7-7. The Giants are 92-64-4 all-time against the Redskins, making it the most frequently contested series in franchise history. 3. The Giants have 3 shutouts in postseason history, including a 17-0 victory over Washington in the NFC Championship game that sent the Giants to Super Bowl 21. 2. The Giants have twice notched 2 defensive touchdowns in a game against the Redskins. They did so in 1938 and again in 1963 when the Giants had interceptions returned for a touchdown from Sam Huff and Dick Lynch. The Giants have also recorded multi-defensive touchdown addings in 2 other games in franchise history, at Detroit in 1996 and at Buffalo in 2006. 1. The longest play from scrimmage against Washington in 81 years of the franchise is a 92-yard touchdown from quarterback Eli Manning to wide receiver Mario Manningham coming in the final game of the 2010 season.
Flasher throws one to the right side. He's got Manningham wide open, and there he goes across midfield to the 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants, 92 yards.
We're back on Big Blue Hits Live, fueled by Hess on Friday. I'm John Schmoker, joined by Paul Dottino, who looked like a kid on Christmas morning. Look at some of that old Giants
footage. Did you see Manningham with that speed? I used to be that fast.
Really?
Long time ago.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. But I think back when they were showing some of those Dick Lynch highlights.
Exactly.
201-939-4513. One problem the Giants have had all season long has been the red zone offense. It burned them against Dallas last week. They hope they can fix it against Washington on Sunday. Eli Manning talked about some of the reasons behind those problems.
Some of it's just execution. We've had some chances to hit a couple fades and things. We just had a couple guys catch it but we're out of bounds, or just haven't been as good as we need to there. I thought yesterday just didn't quite get the looks that we wanted. Played things a little bit differently, and they did a good job on some things that prevented us from being as good as we needed to be.
That was Eli Manning talking on Monday, yesterday, referring to that Dallas game. And, Paul, they always say in the red zone, execution has to be even better because you're dealing with a short field. And for a Giants offense that hasn't really been able to execute at its best anywhere on the field, those problems have just been exacerbated in the red zone.
No doubt, John, it's either a missed block along the offensive line, or a guy doesn't run the right route, or Eli, for whatever reason, misfires on the ball.
Or a penalty.
Or a penalty, too. They were one of three in terms of getting touchdowns in the red zone against Dallas. I still believe that their biggest problem in the red zone is on first and second down. I think they're getting stopped or get thrown for a loss or, again, a penalty, doing something foolish early in the down count, and now all of a sudden they're in the red zone on a third and goal from the 11, and that just doesn't work.
And you saw the perfect play. Brandon Jacobs has a 30-yard run, gets the ball to the 4-yard line. Andre Brown gets caught for a 6-yard loss on the next run. All of a sudden, second and goal from the 10.
And what are you going to do with that? Everybody now knows you're not going to run. You're going to throw it. So now they flood the end zone with their defensive backs, and it becomes a problem.
Let's go to the calls at 201-939-4513. Eli's in Indiana. Eli, what's going on?
Hello?
Eli, what's up?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing all right, Eli. What's going on?
Oh, man, I'm so upset about the Dallas game. My dad, he's a Cowboys fan.
That is a rough week for you, my friend.
Yes, yes. I was wondering about about that last drive with the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay.
That slot position. I was wondering, how come we couldn't put, what's his name, Charles James? Well, how come you couldn't put him in that position?
Well, honestly, I don't even think Charles James would have been the first guy up, Eli. I think it probably would have been Jaron Hosley, right, Paul?
Agreed. And the problem was Tom Coughlin simply thought that with Hosley's limited practice time this year, remember, he's been hurt for much of the season with a strained groin and a hamstring issue. They just felt that Roll was the best guy to put in there. It didn't turn out so well. And, John, I understand that. Damned if you do, damned if you don't. There's really a no-win there.
Hey, look, Ancho Roll's been the best player on your defense this year.
Been great.
He's played this position many times before. And even though we had him practice it for 5 or 6 weeks, as he told us in the locker room after the game, wouldn't you trust him more in that spot?
You have.
That a guy that's coming off a hamstring injury, lost his confidence after some bad play earlier in the year, I mean, you have to go with Roll in that spot. I would have made the same exact decision.
Yeah, of a very difficult decision, it was clearly the most logical. And so, absolutely, I agree.
201-939-4513. Let's go back to our phone to say what's up to Donnell in Virginia. Donnell, what's going on?
Hey, good morning. How y'all doing?
Doing all right, Donnell. How are you?
I guess I'm doing good. Season being kind of disappointing. A lot of missed opportunities. A lot of blown chances this year.
No doubt about it. Do you have a question or comment?
Where do we go from here? I mean, we got to finish strong, try to get to 9-7, and just hope a miracle is happening.
if I can, John, Donnell, let me explain something to you, okay? This isn't just about winning to get a winning record. You're talking about a Giants team that's got approximately 24 guys who are going to be unrestricted free agents at the end of this season. John, these guys are playing for jobs. If not here, somewhere else. The tape doesn't lie. Guys who do not perform well in this situation will find themselves looking for work during the offseason.
No doubt about it. I think Donnell made a great point, Paul, that it's really been one play here or there, one overthrown pass, one interception. You talk about those 9 miscellaneous touchdowns over the course of the year. These little plays here and there just are killing this team again and again.
Like dominoes, John. The little sloppy bad plays have just killed the team.
201-939-4513. We'll continue to take your calls as we move on. But first, let's go into the locker room where Anita Marks had a chance to talk to Corey Webster, someone who might be back in the lineup on Sunday against the Redskins.
Anita Marks here with Corey Webster. And Corey, unfortunately, disappointing loss to the Dallas Cowboys. Give us a feel. What's the locker room like right now?
You know, just go back to the drawing board. We got to get better. We only can control what we can control, and that's going out and winning out the rest of the game. The number one most important game right now is the Redskins, and that's where all our focus and attention is right now.
All right, so let's talk about RG3. He's been struggling this season. You've played against him. What are you seeing differently? What are they doing differently offensively with RG3 that he's not having success this year?
I think they're still running the same offense. I think we just have to be cognizant of their play action. I think they run the ball very well, so that creates opportunities in the play action game. So our discipline has to be very, very important this weekend, and just to know where our guys are all the time so we can be close in coverage and make those plays and kind of keep him where he is right now.
Pierre Garçon, how do you cover him? Very physical off the line of scrimmage? Do you play off of him? How do you play Garçon?
No, I think we do the same thing. We match the physicality that he brings. Receivers that play physical don't like to get their hands put on him. So we're going to try to disrupt some of the time between him and the quarterback, and hopefully that helps confuse him and the quarterback so we can be closer and get tips, overthrows, and interceptions.
Last but not least, Alfred Morris, their running back. The Giants defense has done really exceptionally well against the run this year. Alfred Morris, the past two times you guys have played him, rushed for over 100 yards last season. Different game this coming Sunday night?
I think we have to not focus all our attention on RG3 running the ball because they have a good running back in the backfield. And I think we have to be very disciplined in knowing where he's at, how they're using him so we can contain him and, try to limit his yards. And I think that'll help us in the play action game.
Well, good luck on Sunday.
Thank you very much.
That's Anita Marks and Corey Webster. And Paul, Corey was limited in practice on Thanksgiving. Tremaine McBride did not go. Do you think one, two of these guys are going to go? What happens if both can't go? Then what do the Giants do?
Well, I don't think they have much of a choice. Then Hosley is going to have to be the next man up. He's been available to practice the last couple of weeks, has Hosley. But again, because he's missed so much time, Coach Coughlin's been reluctant to necessarily throw him into the lineup. But if he's the only healthy body that they can dress, he's going to have to play.
And one of the guys the Giants hope to get back in the lineup is wide receiver Akeem Nix, someone wide receiver Victor Cruz knows gives him a lot of help just by being on the field.
I'm happy to have him back, period, just to have him back in the huddle, in the offense, on the sideline, dressed and ready to go. And he's the guy we need. We need him to be his normal self in order to win games, in order for our morale to be up and things like that. So we're definitely happy to have him back.
And, Paul, we talked about the red zone issues. The Giants have had issues in there, but how about scoring from outside the red zone? I think that's where Akeem Nix could come in. He has more receptions than any other player without a touchdown in the league this year,
right?
And he could really be a big solution to some of their problems down there.
John, here we are, week number 12 for the Giants, and yet he's got no touchdown catches yet.
Who would have guessed that?
It's insane, considering the fact that last year when he was, 75% maybe, he went through a string of five games, a career-long five games without a touchdown catch, only to be eclipsed now this season. It is truly remarkable. This is a guy who once caught 11 touchdown passes in a season a few years ago. He's that potent of a weapon. And I don't think there's any doubt. Outside the red zone as well as inside the red zone, the Giants have missed him terribly.
No doubt about it. He's a huge part of this team. We talked about how last year this offense wasn't the same because Akeem Nix wasn't healthy. And now this year, it looks like once again, without him being his old self, whether it's injury or whatever the issue with him has been all year, this offense simply has not been the same.
No, there's no question, John. And the thing about it is, as you look at the rest of the guys around him, Victor Cruz clearly, again, has suffered. He's gone well over a month without catching a touchdown pass. That's not a good thing. The tight ends, I understand Brandon Myers came here as a receiving tight end, but how about catching a few touchdown passes out of the tight end position? They haven't really gotten any there either.
And when you talk about injuries hindering people, that's an easy transition to the Washington Redskins. RG3 and the Redskins offense, not the same as it was last year. And a lot of it has to do with that knee injury that Robert Griffin III really is still recovering from. He's not running the ball as much. He's not quite as explosive. But Giants safety Antrell still knows he's a threat with his legs.
Absolutely, he's dangerous. You still can line him up against 85% of the guys on the field, and I'm pretty sure he'll outrun them. The guy still can run. Just as far as, when you come off a knee injury, man, there's a lot of things that go into that, just both mentally and physically. So as far as, some of his movement, is it the same as it was the year before? No, it's not, but it's close.
And you take a look at his numbers this year, Paul, they look okay. A couple things to note, though, the interception's way up, the completion percentage down, and the rushing yards down.
Yeah, I want to go with the rushing yards first, John, because last year he ran for over 800 yards on the season. Clearly, he's not nearly on pace for that this year. He also ran for 7 touchdowns last year. This year, he's got none. 0 rushing touchdowns for RG3. Now, what I don't know is, have they tried to get him into the end zone off of those sprint outs inside the 10, or has he just simply not been able to do it? Have teams begun to figure out a little bit what's going on, and to combine that with his injuries, can he not get to the edge anymore? I haven't seen enough of film on them to really determine that.
They still run 18 to 20 read option looks per game, so they're still using it, but it seems like they're going with the run a lot more. And you talk about the injury limiting him as a runner, it really seems like it's messed with his ability as a passer to use proper mechanics, step into his throws, and that to me has clearly affected his accuracy.
Well, John, we're talking about a significant knee injury, and everybody I've talked to said, and this is not new, they've been telling me for years, even with the great technology and the advances in surgeries, it still takes at least a full season before anybody can truly get back anywhere near to what they used to be. And so we're seeing RG3 is a percentage of himself, and that's not something you can just click your heels at.
And even with these limitations, the Redskins' offense has still been pretty potent. At home, they're averaging more than 30 points per game. A lot of the reason is Alfred Morris, who Justin Tuck knows is a load to handle.
He's a downhill runner, which is, you know, Shanahan's type. I think they lull you to sleep with all their zone blocking and thinking they're going side to side. But he's constantly downhill. So, you know, you're never going to – he's not one of those backs you're going to – you know, you can hit him at 2 yards and he end up getting 6. So that's very impressive in this league, considering that, you know, he is the focal point.
And Alfred Morris, Paul, quite frankly, still a monster. This guy is a downhill runner, 3rd in the NFL in rushing, over 5 yards per carry. Not getting to the end zone quite as much, but Alfred Morris is a top 5 NFL running back that the Giants are going to have to focus on. He got them twice for more than 100 yards last year.
Yeah, John, there is no question about his abilities. What I like about him as a running back when I watch him play is that the first tackler rarely takes him down. In fact, sometimes the second guy can't take him down. It truly takes a gang-tackling effort from the defense to be able to bring this guy to the turf. He's a very impressive, determined, intense runner, kind of like me.
And we'll talk more about the Redskins' offense on defense as we break down this game. As the show continues, we'll also continue to take your calls at 201-939-4513 on Big Blue Hits, fueled by Hess. But first, a closer look at the X's and O's of this week's game. Let's go to Carl Banks and strategy.
All right, let's take a look at the Washington Redskins defensive front. Here, you're going to see they've got all 4 of their linebackers are right near the line of scrimmage, and you have a safety there. So there's always a possibility of a blitz because you have a lot of guys within the general vicinity of the line of scrimmage. Now, I'm going to play this. We'll take a look. They pull one guy out. Start it back again. Slow motion. They're going to blitz, blitz, blitz. Now keep an eye here. He gives it an all okay, and then he delay blitzes, and no one accounts for him. You always have to identify the mic. That's just a delayed blitz, confusing the offense as to who was coming. Now let's take a look at the Redskins running game. Alfred Morris is one of the best running backs the Giants will see all year. You cannot allow this offensive line to get you on the edge of blocks because it'll create natural seams. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Here on the snap, I'll freeze it. You've got a guy sealed here, guy going backwards, guy going backwards. Now, let's take a look at what Alfred Morris sees. He sees a lane there, he sees a lane there, and possibly a lane there because he's got blocking that's going to take place in all of these areas. You've got to get penetration on the line of scrimmage, and you'll see he takes and see how he sets up his blocks here. He's got a block there, block there, block there, and he's got a clear lane before anyone gets to him. It's about getting penetration on their side of the line of scrimmage, and as you can see, he doesn't go backwards. He goes forward.
And right there you see the skills and power of Alfred Morris and a Redskins offensive line, Paul, that hasn't been good in the running game this year. But in the passing game, they've had some issues protecting Robert Griffin III.
Yeah, Williams in particular at left tackle is not quite what he was the last couple of years. In fact, when he came into the league, he was sloppy, made a lot of mistakes. People were kind of like, wow, maybe he was drafted too high. And then he kind of settled down. Now this year he's taking a step back.
He's given up 3.5 sacks over his last couple of games, really struggling. 201-939-4513. You take your calls on Big Blue Hits Friday right here on Giants.com. Our next caller is Len down in Maryland. Len, what's going on? Good to hear from you.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up, Len?
Good to see the new format and see you guys live there.
Special holiday edition, Len. We're mixing things up a little bit for you.
Yeah, pretty good. Carl Banks stole my thunder just a little bit, but the way I was going to put it with regard to the running game, and I think this is going to be the key, if the Redskins change the line of scrimmage, if the line of scrimmage moves 2 yards into the Giants' direction, we're really in serious trouble. And the Redskins have a way of doing that. I'm not sure. These are not star players, but somehow Shanahan and that offensive line coach, and I can't recall the name of the fellow with the Redskins, but they seem to do a good job of blocking defensive lines. And as Carl said, I think the key is going to be penetration. If the Redskins change the line of scrimmage, we're in trouble, guys.
Yeah, Len, no doubt about it. And the thing about it, Len, is last week, the Cowboys did that to the Giants, too. And much like Dallas, the Redskins do like to run to the edge, Paul, which is not where the strength of the Giants' run defense is. And, Len, thanks for the call. We appreciate
it. Well, we've talked all year about the difference that John Beeson has made once he stepped in here. Well, Beeson's in the middle. Now, he is good enough to get sideline to sideline, but there's no question that between the tackles is where he wants to roam, is where he wants to own that territory. So it makes sense, if you're going to run against the Giants, to try to get off the edge. Why not?
201-939-4513. Let's stick to the phone call. Say hello to Priya in Philadelphia. Priya, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing great, Priya. What's up?
This is my first time calling. I wanted to thank you guys so much. I listen to you guys all the time.
Well, we appreciate it. Thank you.
My question is, I know we're not supposed to talk about the draft right now, but I'm just thinking ahead for next year about possibly getting like a free agent tight end like Anquan Boldin. I don't know whether he signed in with a contract with the Niners or – because here's my thinking. Eli's throws, they tend to be kind of high and they sail. So I feel like with Eli, we need a tight end that can go up and grab it.
Well, Priya, I hear you. And Priya, I bet you didn't know one of Paul Dottino's Thanksgiving tradition is watching college game film getting ready for the draft. I'm just kidding.
Oh, boy.
It's a little too early for draft talk here, but I do think it's fair when you get to the offseason, eventually, one of the things you're going to want to try to do, one, is make a decision on Akeem next. He's going to be an unrestricted free agent.
No doubt.
And then try to figure out a way to get this passing game back to where it was a couple years ago.
Well, first of all, you mentioned Anquan Boldin. He's a receiver, not a tight end, so let me straighten you out with
that. Frankly, with his size and not great speed,
yeah, right?
he might eventually convert to a Tony Gonzalez type of tight end. He might actually do that at some point.
I don't think he wants to do that. I don't think he wants to get chucked and blocked off the line like tight ends do.
Well, Tony Gonzalez doesn't want to really do that either, though,
No, he doesn't. But here's what I would just say to you. In terms of what the Giants want to do with this passing game, yes, the Knicks thing has to settle itself out. But the other thing that really has to happen is they got to figure out what they're going to do with the tight end spot.
Yeah.
Brandon Myers has an option at the end of his contract where he can opt out. And quite frankly, I don't know what he's going to do. And quite honestly, maybe the Giants will decide that they want to go a different way too. That's going to be another thing that's got to be deciphered.
Let's wrap up the show with our final call and say what's up to Ed in Maryland. Ed, how are you, pal?
Actually, this is Big Ed.
Oh, Big Ed. What's up, man? How are you?
Your boy. What's up, fellas? Happy Thanksgiving, man.
You
hope
too, Big Ed.
One. Listen, guys, that was a tough game. That was a tough, tough, tough Dallas game. We should have won it. We should have won it. You know we should have won it. I know we'll beat the Redskins. The key for beating the Redskins is so simple. All you have to do is go deep. We did not go deep against Dallas. That's why we lost. How many passes have we gone deep? How many passes have we gone deep in the past three games over 40 yards?
All right, hold on.
Well, Big Ed, here's the problem. This team has struggled with the passing game going down the field all year long.
John and Big Ed, I'm sorry, but I think the Giants, if you want to criticize the play selection at all against Dallas, they should have run the ball more. They ran for over 200 yards, over 6 yards a carry. They could have run the ball a lot better than they could have thrown deep.
No, Paul, I agree with you, but That is the one thing that's been missing from the Giants' offense this year. That's always been there in years past, their ability to go down the field. It simply has not been there consistently since the first couple games of the year.
Okay, first of all, Akiem Nicks has been banged up, as we've talked about.
Protection issues, too.
And protection issues. And let's not forget, too, Mariel Manningham is long gone. He's in San Francisco, and some of the Giants' deep threat has been watered down by the fact that he's no longer here.
Paul, excellent work. Hope you had a great holiday. Happy Thanksgiving.
You too, John.
And enjoy your weekend.
All right, take care.
For Paul Dottino, I'm John Schmoke. That's all the time we have for Big Blue Hits Friday, a special holiday edition right here on Giants.com. It's all fueled by Hess. For Paul, I'm John Schmoke. Enjoy your weekend. Giants and Redskins on Sunday. Have a good one.